Today on Life Talks, how do we read our Bible? It sounds like something so elementary, but something that is so difficult to do at times.
Yes.
I am Ben. I'm here with Brad. We are a couple of the pastors here on staff at Life Fellowship Church. And Brad, last episode, we talked about devotional reading, why it's important, why we struggle with it at times, difference between Bible study and devotional reading, which is essentially the engagement with the person of Jesus in a relationship way, in a kind of like a conversation communion as opposed to research and, you know, it's engaging the heart and the mind, not just the mind. So we kind of covered that.
Right.
So now we get to the nitty gritty, because how many times have you and I, have our listeners said, okay, it's a new year. I'm going to read the Bible in a year. I'm going to read my, and I've got 30-day challenge, whatever it is.
Yep.
We try, we stumble. Sometimes we succeed. And even when we succeed, we think, okay, what did that really do for me?
Right.
Or we stumble and fall and we don't do it. Mm-hmm. But this is an ongoing challenge, because I think as much as all of us would say, reading the Bible is important for us as followers of Jesus, we don't know how to do it.
Right.
And I think honestly, most people would say the desire's there. I just don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
So give us some ideas. Let's talk about, I have ideas, you have ideas. Let's just ping pong back and forth.
Right.
What's your first idea? How do we do this? Give our listeners an idea of how to do devotional reading.
So I'll walk through what I do.
Okay.
So I take a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11.
Is it a magic piece of paper?
It is. It can fly. It's a magic carpet ride. Fold in half. Kids movies like Aladdin, just four kids will have Disney playing through your mind at all times. So I fold in half, and the first thing I do is I write prepare in the top left corner.
Okay.
So that I'm just spending time in prayer, asking God to prepare my heart, prepare my soul. Might pull out some scripture passages that will help me prepare with what I'm dealing with. So then I'll read through whatever passage I want to go through. I know some people will read 3 chapters a day, a chapter a day. I'll look at the sections in scripture and just look at that section. If I'm starting a book of the Bible, it might just be the first 2 verses.
Yeah.
So I'll look at that section and I'll read it through 2 or 3 times. And then after I do that, I'll write it all out. So on the front page, I have the word prepare, the scripture passage, and then I write out everything.
Do you write out the passage, or you write out what you learned?
Write out the passage.
You write out the passage.
So I've got this piece of paper, and it's 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 17. So I read through that 2 or 3 times.
So it's not like a full chapter you're
writing? No, it's just whatever passage
that
I'm pulling out from the section. So at that point, the passage is pretty within me. I know what's going on, and I've got that. I like to read the NET Bible for devotional reading, because it has a lot of notes that
you're
can
a heathen.
I am.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe I did that.
That version.
Oh, my goodness. My translation jokes just flooding the mind.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to. So I'll read the NET. I'll write that out. I like the notes that come along with it. They have textual notes, translation notes, and study notes. So I like to read all that because I'm a nerd. Then if I open up my page, on the front side, I have the word meditate. And I'm not clearing my mind from an Eastern perspective of meditation. I am focusing in on one thing that God revealed to me through the whatever I just wrote out. And I write that down. And then I just meditate on him. So for this one, in 1 Timothy, I had the eternal King, immortal, invisible, the only God. And I just spent 5 or 10 minutes meditating on God being the eternal King. He's immortal, he's invisible, and he is the only God. So I spend 5 or 10 minutes meditating on that, just thinking through that reality, getting that within me. Then on the opposite side of that, from the inside, I have the word prayer, and then I just write out a prayer based off what I meditated on. I'm not one well with words, so my prayers are usually a sentence long. I don't journal well, so I know some people could like fill the whole thing up. Brevity is
what you're saying is
my brevity is my gift.
If you would have wrote Jesus calling, it would have been on a 3x5 card.
I'd have been 3x5. Here we go. Jesus called. I answered. Let's go. So
that's the depth of what Brad needs in his life.
That is my prayer. So my prayer is I'm not great with words. So it is like a sentence or two, and then that's my. But then I'll continue the conversation throughout the day. And then on the back page, I have the word action. So at this point, I've prayed. I've meditated on it. I've prayed about it. And I'm at this point asking the Holy Spirit, what is one thing I can do today through your power. So that it's not my power doing it. It's not Brad's thinking. It's what is something that you've convicted me of that I need to do or to change in my life that I can actually do today through your power, and then seek to be obedient to that throughout the day. And so for me, it was prayer focused around God being the eternal King. So I spent time in that because my normal is not, I'm not one who loves to pray. I'm not great at it. And so getting to the point where I could pray that throughout the day was definitely conviction of the Holy Spirit. So that to me is what I do. It's reading the passage a couple times, writing it out, meditating, praying it, and then what is one thing that I can do through the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to Him.
That's so good. All right. So I'll tell you what I've done.
Yeah.
And then we're going to break down, because I think, again, don't get so caught up in the how-tos, because I think you find what works for you.
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot of
things, but I think there's some common things that we could say they should be a part of the devotional reading.
Right.
So here's what I've done. I either have a journal or I have a journaling Bible, right, with the columns.
Right.
And I think I've shared this before on our podcast. I use the SOAP method, or I have in the past, where I read a chapter, I write down the scripture, one verse, that stands out to me in the chapter I've read. I write down SOAPing stands as an acronym, S-O-A-P. So S is scripture, O is observation. What do I observe about that verse that is important? Why did it stand out to me? What is it saying? What is it that God is saying to me?
Right, right.
And then A is application. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
God, what is it you're saying to me to do in response to what you're telling me? And then P is a prayer, and I write it out. So I've done that. I did that for like 4 straight years.
Yeah.
That was a really helpful thing. Recently, since I filled up my Bible, and I'm like, okay, now that my Bible's filled up, what do I do now? One of the things I've been doing recently has been doing more like investing in an actual chunk of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was on my COVID sabbatical, that was a joke. Yeah, I'm not sure how well that went, but I was when I was in my RV and garage quarantining for weeks on end with disease, various viruses and diseases. one of the things I did was I spent about 30 days reading the Sermon on the Mount every single day, and I would write out a certain portion of it every single day, and I would pray through it.
Yeah,
and the point was I wanted to take that chunk of scripture and just kind of I think this is what you and I are saying, because you know, whether you read a section of scripture over and over and over again or what,
right,
here's a couple of things. The picture I want everyone to see is instead of a Dixie cup that you're drinking from, okay, I want you to think of a swimming pool that you're swimming in. So if you crack open your Bible, right?
Yeah.
And you're reading it and you're like, okay, I read that chapter, and you shut your Bible and it takes, 5 to 10 minutes where you just read the Bible and like, all right, Jesus, meet with me. And I'm not trying to diminish that, but the point is this. That's your Dixie cup. You try to just, there's something you're trying to ingest, but you might not really take away anything from it.
Right.
What you and I talked about was, think about jumping in the pool, swimming around a little bit. Like you just said, I love one of the things that you said was, you pray before, you pray in the middle, and you pray after. If there's an engagement with the person of Jesus.
Right, right.
Right? You read the passage 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
You write down the passage.
Yeah.
And then you write down what it's saying. And then you write. So there's an engagement that at various levels.
Right.
That you're, and I have heard this said, and I can't remember, maybe it was Wayne Cordero in his book, where he said, you cannot really engage the Bible devotionally without a pen and paper.
Yeah.
Which I firmly believe in that.
Right.
If you're going to engage with the person of Jesus in a devotional way without a piece of paper and a writing utensil, you're going to forget it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would. I have personal experience of forgetting it.
I think that's one of the biggest things. And I learned that when I was like, 39 years old when I read that. I think it's his book, The Divine Mentor, that Wayne Cordero writes about that, and he introduces the SOAP method. But the whole idea was, I can't tell you how many years I would read the Bible devotionally, and I would say, I read this chapter in James, but I can't remember what I read. Right?
Yeah. I've been there a lot.
So the biggest thing we're saying is think about the mindset of difference between drinking a Dixie cup of water mm-hmm. and going on a jumping in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Devotional reading is jumping in the swimming pool. Find yeah. ways to engage what you're reading in multiple levels, reading it numerous times, praying through it, writing things down, writing it out, like really wrestle with the text.
Yeah.
On a personal level, yeah. don't just read it once, shut the Bible, and say, well, I expect something supernatural to happen. It's not going to, all right? So that's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Right.
All right, here's a question I have for you, because I think a lot of people engage the Bible through apps.
Yeah.
Technology on their phone, mm-hmm. okay? My kids do it like, My kids are like, I'm on day 110. You know, they're reading their Bible, and I'm thanking God for yeah. that, right? But I wonder how effective is the Bible app, some of the other things that were, you know, because, man, you talk about devotional reading plans. Like, they have, like, devotional reading plans. Like, if you own a Labrador Retriever, here's your Bible devotional reading. Like, they have so many devotional reading
plans. I would like that
for
my Christmas list, please.
They have about 1,200. I mean, you can have the Bible read to you with an African voice, an English, you know what I mean, like
right.
or accent, I should say. The technology is yeah. so prominent. Speak to maybe the pros and the cons of those helps.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I know before I came working here, I was mm-hmm. at a university. I had staff under me, and whenever they brought me something, I would say, did you print this out and read through it first before you give it to me? And they said, no, I just wrote it on a computer. And I would say, that's not good enough. You are going to miss, I think it's 75 to 80% of mistakes in grammar just by reading it on a screen if you don't print it out.
Really?
Yes. So that was something that I forced my staff to do, that every time you have to give me something, you have to at least look at it physically and engage with it, and then you can send it my way. So I think that that's one of the cons, is we read screens differently than we read physical paper.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big con. Pros is it's accessible everywhere. So everywhere I go, Logos Bible comes with me because it's on my phone. I have like 50 different translations that go with me everywhere. And so it's accessible wherever you can go, that scripture can be accessible throughout the entire world through the phone or an electronic device. But I think that, to your point, that not engaging with it with pen and paper, personally for me, has been way better. It's been more enriching. It's helped me to slow down because I know I can look at my phone or pull up the iPad and I'm starting to go through it, and the next thing I know, I get a text message from mom, dad, brother, wife, and I respond quickly, and then I am shot for paying attention to what God is trying to speak through me, because my mind, I might go back to the app, but I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to respond to next?
Yeah.
So I think that it's easy to become distracted through a digital means.
That's a good point. So
I like to put the phone down, put it on Do Not Disturb, and pull up my 8.5 by 11 with the physical copy of the Word.
I think that is so good, because what you're saying is, it's not like there's anything wrong.
Yeah, no.
But if there's a good, better, best, great. If all you can do is open up the app and listen and read, and there's nothing wrong with that. But
not at all.
But the best way is to really think through and write things down and engage with it at multiple levels. Because I think one of the things that we just talked about in our devotional reading is, don't just engage with it at one level. Read it out loud. Pray through it. Write it out. Like, I think if you engage the more different parts of your brain, the more it's going to stick and the more it's going to stand out to you.
Right.
All right. So here's something I wasn't planning on asking you, but I think it's worth having a conversation, because I think some people do have this honest question. What version do I use? I mean, you talked about using the NET Bible.
Yes.
And I know some people are like, what's that? You know?
Was a heathen.
Is Brad a heretic now? But there are, the reality is there are different translations.
Yeah, there are.
And some are, some of them, when it comes to, we won't really dig in deep into translations,
because
we only have, about 7 minutes left. But the idea is this: there are some translations of the Bible that take a word-for-word equivalency.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then there are some that take maybe a thought-for-thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're trying to get across what was the author's... Yeah.
So word-for-word would be things like the New American Standard, New King James, English Standard, would you even say the NET?
Yeah, ish.
Ish, okay. That's more what they would call more wooden, more, you know, word-for-word translation. Then you have the in the middle what they call a dynamic equivalent, which is a more thought-for-thought, which is the NIV is probably the most popular Christian Holman standard, or the is it the Holman standard, Christian standard Bible? It's whatever the Southern Baptist, I think it's called the Christian Holman standard. Yeah. I think it's more of a NIV equivalent, NIV and CSB, whatever
it is. NIV, NLT.
All right, the NLT, right, is another one that's maybe even more to the right. That's then you have there's like a very loose...
The Message.
The Message. On the right, you have The Message, okay? Tell me what... Is there anything wrong with reading The Message devotionally?
Oh, man.
Because I know some people do. Like,
I personally... I used to use it. When I became a Christ follower, I did use it.
Okay.
Because I did not understand what the New King James Version was saying. I would read it and go... No one talks like this out of any person that
human
I know.
Being that I
no
know.
Human being that I know talks like this. So I would read The Message as a way to, as I was spending time with God, to use that to go, okay, what is this actually saying?
Yeah.
So I use that as kind of like a counterpart to help me understand. I personally do not and have not used that as the only, because it is Eugene Peterson. He does a great job translating it into a modern day vernacular. But it's too far in the
So what version should people use? What would you recommend?
I like to do the NET.
Okay.
Because it does have the notes in there in case I'm doing it devotionally, but I do have a question.
And is the NET mostly online or do they have a hard copy?
They have a hard copy as well.
Okay.
So they have an app that you can do it online.
What does the NET even stand for?
New English Translation.
New English Translation. All right.
So it was a group of like 25 biblical scholars that got together and nerded out and created a translation. And it's it's probably the greatest translation that other translations use to look at. So it's meant for study.
Okay.
But I like to read it devotionally, personally. ESV, I use that for 15 years, love the ESV.
Yeah.
NIV, I think, is good. NLT, I think, is good as well.
Yeah.
The NLT went through a revamp of what they did and become more center with the NIV. So, I think that thought for thought or word for word, whatever you can read,
whatever makes
good.
Sense.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's not. It's more of a personal preference thing.
Yeah.
I think the more younger someone is, or maybe their reading level.
Yeah.
I would recommend, or maybe you're brand new to the Bible. I would recommend the NIV or the NLT. Like I would just recommend that because of its readability.
Yes.
Right. I think maybe the more you are, the more veteran you are, you might want a more word for word. You know, translation, because it really does a good job of getting to the core essence of the words.
And
words do matter, right?
Yeah, they do.
More than just thoughts. I think, and this is something I've learned to do, and I enjoy doing this, is I enjoy reading different translations.
Yeah.
Like you said I read 1 Timothy 1 verses 12 through 17.
Yeah.
One of the things I love to do was I love to read that passage in the ESV and then read it in the NIV and then read it in the Message.
Yeah.
Because when I'm reading it from different, I might get different flavors and ideas of, oh, this is how this person, this is how they interpreted this word or this idea. And again, the whole idea is swimming in that pool. It's that marination of the mind to be like, okay, I want to engage with this text more than just I read it once, I check the box, I did my devotions. What we're saying is that's not the way to engage the Bible devotionally.
Right.
And so even reading a passage of scripture in multiple translations, I think would help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I think pick one that you know it, for its readability or for its depth or what, you know, because for you, you're saying what I like is I like the meaty stuff.
Yeah.
I like the study notes. And that's another thing that we would recommend is if you have a, get a devotional or a Bible, one of those
notes.
Yeah, Bible with
study
notes.
Bible.
Study Bible. Sorry, I just I blanked out there. Like a Bible study.
A Bible with study notes. What are those called?
Because I remember my first study Bible was the John MacArthur Study Bible.
Yeah.
And I got it when I was in college, and I thought, man, this is. Because, you know, sometimes you're reading and you're like, what does that mean? You go down, and again, you don't want to depend totally on other people all the time, but if you're younger, newer to the faith, sometimes it does help you to have. Those notes there. So I know the NIV has a good study Bible. I know the ESV study Bible is really good. And they're a little bit more expensive, but find if you're looking for something to say, I hate reading things and not knowing what it's saying.
Yeah.
Get a study Bible right. for your devotions to help you explain things that where you might get stuck on, right?
And I know for me, reading the Bible devotionally fuels my Bible study and vice versa. So
that's good.
As I'm
that's
going
really
through Timothy or 1 Timothy, there are things that I just look at and go, yeah, I'm starring that for later. I need to research that. And so later in the week or later that day, I'll go and look at commentaries or look at study Bibles to figure out what's going on. And so that ends up fueling, all right, so it might be like the one that I mentioned earlier, God being the eternal king. All right, what does that actually mean for God to be the eternal king? Mm-hmm. So I'll go and research that later, but that ends up fueling to my devotional.
Yes.
And then so it's a cycle. They're not meant to be polar opposites. They're meant to fuel one another.
That is so good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I think sometimes, there's going to be things you come across in your Bible devotions and you're meeting with God where you're saying, man, this idea, this theological concept, right? Jesus as king, what does that even mean?
Right.
That, they both feed each other.
Yeah.
And so even though they're different and distinct, they can help each other. It helps the different dimensions of your understanding and your following of Jesus. And really to bring this full circle as we conclude our conversation, we're having this conversation because if our church, for the people of our church, people at Life Fellowship and whoever else is listening to this, if the only way we're engaging with the Word of God is secondhand or it's you know, just haphazard, it's not having that personal communion with Him, I just think that we're going to, the reason why so many people, and we mentioned this in the beginning of our first episode in this series, the reason why over a third of self-identified evangelicals do not believe or they question whether Jesus was God, is because they don't know their Bible. It's because they don't engage with the person of Jesus and they don't engage with the truth of His word. And we need, if the Spirit of God is going to move, it's going to take more than engaging with the Word of God once a week.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that we're saying, like, God, I know this is a prayer we began in the beginning of the year in 2020 was, God, help us to hear from You through Your Spirit and through Your Word.
Yeah.
And that has been a constant prayer of mine throughout this year. And I think I want to continue to pray with that because, man, we want to see our people fall more in love with Jesus every single day.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're listening to this, please know this conversation was meant to challenge you, but also to encourage you and to know that you're not going to be amazing. Both Brad and I think we're very open and honest in saying it took years for us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just because we're pastors doesn't mean it's easy.
Yeah.
It took years for us to get into a rhythm and routine and learning. It's kind of like riding a bicycle or whatever, anything in life that requires skill.
Yeah.
It's going to be, when you begin it, it's choppy, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes and the more satisfying it becomes and the more you learn. It's a momentum builder. So, Brad, thanks for joining us on this conversation. And we want to challenge you. I hope that 2021 is a year that maybe it's more than just checking the box of your Bible reading. It's a year in which you have met with Jesus in such a unique and personal and devotional way. And our hope is that as we are people shaped by the Word of God, that the Spirit of God has greater ways of transforming us and using us in this community. So thanks again for joining us for this conversation of Life Talks, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.